So I just wanted to say that after being here for many years, Ralph and Ruthie can come and join me here on the platform. I just want to say thank you to North Shore Alliance for making all of my dreams come true in these last 15 years. Today is a realization of another lifelong dream of mine. I've grown up 43 years watching Hockey Night in Canada, and I've revered the greats over the years. Dave Hodge, how many of you guys remember Dave Hodge, host on Hockey Night in Canada when we were kids? Ron McLean, of course, who's the indomitable host these days. And then now there's been a new program since the Hockey Night in Canada lockout called After Hours. Any of you ever watched that? After the second game? Scott Oak, bald guy from Winnipeg. And I've been always looking at the television there on Saturday night and saying, that guy has my dream job. But actually today I'm realizing one of my dreams. Ralph and Ruth Sureski, who are sitting with me here on the platform, are longtime Christian and Missionary Alliance international workers or missionaries. And my hope, I'm going to take over the next 30 to 35 minutes, not preach a sermon, and you're saying, thank God you heard that last week. You don't have to listen to this guy again. But my hope today is like the After Hours program, where since the lockout, the NHL was really trying to build a bridge between fans and players. Rather than players and fans being separate, players being these sort of untouchable, up there, great missionaries on a pedestal, that we have, through the After Hours program, had a little insight into what's the real life of an NHL hockey player. Today, I want to do that for missionaries. A heart expose, as you will have an opportunity, hopefully Ralph and Ruth have given me opportunity to ask them any question today in front of you, and you can listen in, and really have an opportunity to hear their heart today about what it's like to be serving the Lord, particularly in international work. So, that's the dream. It's coming true here on the platform, and hopefully it'll be good for you as well today as we bridge the gap between missionaries on a pedestal and people in the church. So this will be a great opportunity. So just wanted to begin our time with prayer. We're going to trust the Lord to really guide this, and just pray that God would open your hearts to what he might have be saying to you today as we conduct this interview. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to gather today. Thanks for what you're already doing in our midst. Thank you for this great time to worship together. And God, now we just want to commit these next moments to you as we have this time to listen to Ralph and Ruth's heart. God, we pray most of all that you would get the glory today. God, we pray that you would move us out of the way and that you would speak to us by your Spirit from the life journey of two people who have been faithful to serve you and to follow you. God, I pray that in this interview, you might be pouring out your Spirit upon us, growing vision, building our heart for you, for neighbors and nations. And we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of you know Ralph and Ruth already. They've been longtime Alliance missionaries. They've also been in our church numerous times, particularly over the last half dozen years or so. I'd like to begin with my first question for them. Calling. This is a big word we throw around in church. But God has called you specifically to a life of international work, and you spent lots of time overseas. I'd love for both of you to take a little time to talk about calling. Maybe we'll start with Ralph, and then we'll go to Ruth.
Well, I think my sense of calling started when I was already 5 years old. My aunt was visiting us. She was living and actually working in Germany, and this is my dad's sister. She was single. And she was at our table, and my dad said, "Oh, Della, would you pray for our meal in German?" And she said, "Oh, sure." So she started praying, and I'm 5 years old, and my eyes are closed, and head probably bowed like this. And I looked up with one eye, and I thought, wow, someday I'd like to be able to do that, to pray in German. And that, I think, God already was starting to plant a seed, put an idea in my heart, and it was furthered when I was 18, was living in Europe, going to a Bible school over there, visited my aunt who was over there, and when I was visiting her, God said to me, "This is the place." I don't know how to explain it other than he just did that in my heart.
When God taps you on the shoulder, you have a real choice that you're facing there too.
Right.
It's good. Jonah, Ralph, Ruth.
um, I think it's also started for me when I was a child, just sort of the awareness. We always had a lot of missionaries in our church and in our home, and the awareness that there were people in the world who did not have the same opportunity that we have in North America to hear the gospel or to see the gospel lived. And so that was sort of a seed planted way back then. And I think, too, calling is sort of like being in love. You can't really explain it, but you know it when it happens. And it is really important. And I often say to young women, you need to know your calling from God, too. And so I had this calling from God. And when we met, it wasn't specifically for Europe, but it was for overseas. And when Ralph and I met and we started talking about possible future together, he said to me, well, you know, I'm going to Germany. And for me, it was just like a puzzle piece fitting together. But I think it's really important for women not just to have this calling to be a certain person's wife, but a calling that you know in your own heart. Because there were times when we, you know, we were just like, what are we doing here? Nothing's happening. And it seemed that one of us was ready to get on the next plane, but never at the same time, which was really good. So that in those times, it was the one who was saying, no, but we're called here. This is our place. That's what kept us going.
That's great. Calling is such an important thing, as you say, when the storms of life hit and one of you wants to get on the plane, it's important to know that you're called. Now, it's interesting that you have been called to Germany. And for many of us, we would think of Germany as a rich country. It's why do we need to send missionaries to Germany? It's not a third world country. It's a largely Christian nation, you would think. Could you talk about that a little bit? Maybe starting with you, Ralph.
Well, just to back up, before we went to Germany, we were pastoring a church in Grand Forks, British Columbia. Anybody ever been there?
That's kind of like Germany, actually.
Yeah, that's something like that.
Russia, I should say.
There are 5,000 people that are in that little town, and there were 5 very good churches. And we were pastoring one of those. We get to Germany, where we felt God was calling us, and one of the things that's on our radar right now is a city down the road from us, 60,000 people. We have 2 house groups there. There are 2 churches that we know of there that are really life-giving. There are many buildings that we would call churches. But where God is really honored and the Bible is taken seriously, we know of only 2 churches in that city, 60,000 people. That's just, there's a little comparison. Just the numbers alone. But I think Germans, you know, broad stroke, kind of a big brush, kind of a paint thing. They think they've already tried Christianity. What else is there? Been there, done that. And we're just asking God to wipe his face clean, the Lord Jesus, to show you really haven't tried him. You think you have, but it's just a post-Christian center in that sense.
Very similar to our country in some ways.
Yeah.
Maybe they're even further along the way than we are.
Yeah.
Ruth, make sure you look into the camera when you're answering the question. We're on live television.
On one of my dreams, too. No.
Right up there.
you know, a lot of you have probably been there and you've seen these huge cathedrals. And that's one of the things that people think, oh, there are churches everywhere. But we have heard that the average attendance at one of those places on a Sunday morning is 25. And nothing against people with white hair, but it's pretty well all that you see there. So in another generation, unless something happens, those places will be empty on Sunday morning.
Wow. Just wanted to encourage you that I've created a PowerPoint here. If you'd like to ask any of your own questions, we do have a number that you can text your question to. This is Mark Peter's cell phone number. He's sitting in the front row here. So if any of people from the studio audience would like to text a question, Mark, I'm serious. It's kind of funny, but I didn't have a chance to make it into PowerPoint. Can you see that? Everybody can see that from the balcony. So if you'd like to text a question, you can do that, and Mark Peters will have a look at that. I'm just going to put it down here. I'm going to set it up right there, and I think most of you could probably read that from there, which is good. So please feel free to text any questions. We'll take a few studio questions. My next question is this. Ruth, I've been an Alliance guy for many years, 25, 30 years. I knew about you guys before I ever met you face to face. And we kind of in some ways put missionaries and pastors up on this pedestal, but I would love for you to break this mystique about missionaries. Should we be putting people like you up on a pedestal or not?
Well, I when I saw that question, I thought of a defining moment for me. We'd been in Germany a few years, and we're home living with my parents for a little while. And one day my mom was out, and I just decided to do a favor. I was cleaning up, and I was washing the kitchen floor. And she came home, and she goes, "The missionary is washing my kitchen floor." I was kind of like, when did I stop being your daughter and become the missionary? And if any of you are the holy child in your family, you know that's a bit of a burden to be like the, you know. So we are just like normal people. Doing really what all of us as Christians should be doing, except we have the privilege of doing that full time and of being in another country to do that. So,
and that's a great story. I think that sometimes we tend to put Christian full time leaders on a pedestal, yeah. But we're all needed, and we all mm-hmm. have an opportunity to really serve the Lord in that way. And we have our breakdowns and our sin just as much as anyone else. Those of you who know me well know that for real. I'd love to also dig into this a little bit. What's the toughest thing about being a missionary? I mean, it's difficult to move lock, stock, and barrel from one place to another, far across, bringing kids along with you. I'd love for you to chat about that a bit.
Well, we sometimes joke that we're not real missionaries because we're not living somewhere out in the bush where we have no running water and electricity and we're plagued with malaria and snakes and things. I mean, we do have friends who deal with that on a daily basis. So we're very blessed in that we're living in a place that's a really easy place to live. But I think the hardest thing also for us and also probably for those people who are in a sort of less civilized areas is just being away from family. Being away from now grandchildren, parents who are getting older, kids, like we had our kids with us. We were blessed to be able to have our kids with us and in German school most of the time. But that's probably the biggest thing. You miss out on the anniversaries, the birthdays, all that kind of stuff.
And the hockey games. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The hockey games.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
I'd love for you, Ralph, maybe could you just, I didn't ask you to go through this question, but could you just go through your family, your kids, outline where they are and that quickly for us? That'd be great.
Three kids, A-S-K, ask and you shall receive. Andrew, Stephen, and Krista. Andrew's 27 and married to Amanda. They live in Calgary. They have a little boy named Jackson, 2 years old. And second child is on the way in just about a month. And then Stephen, married to a German woman, Uli, and they live in Mannheim in the city that we work in. He's 25, just finished his first part of his degree to be a music teacher in the high school system in Germany. And then Krista, who just married Vincent van Dam, who's Dutch background, and they live in Calgary, and they're both attending Ambrose, and she's 21.
That's great. So you have one in Germany where you're at, and
yeah,
two here
in Calgary.
And then you live here on the West Coast. When
yeah.
So that's probably one of the challenges, I would imagine, of having, where is home, really? That's a challenge.
And then Ruth's family's in Ontario,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, Ralph, one of the great stories that I heard you talk about at Men's Retreat was related to a bit of your healing journey. Let's maybe start with that question. Ralph, could you maybe just tell us a little bit about some of the battle with sickness that you've had in the last couple of years? We'd love to hear that.
Well, we were home in 2006, just had a regular medical checkup, and the doctor phoned and said, "Are you sitting down?" And basically, long story made short, I started a journey with leukemia. And 2010, the numbers were going off the charts so much that I had to do chemo in Germany. One of the doctors said, if you have to have chemo or you have to have leukemia, the best place in the world to have it is Germany because they're right on the cutting edge of it. Well, it's not that comforting, but it is nice to know that they're doing pretty well with figuring that out. And if the picture's up there, you'll see that I looked a little thinner. Then I lost 25 pounds, but I found them all again. So, but I wouldn't want to repeat that. And just got blood work, basically was supposed to be in remission maybe 4 or 5 years, and this last November would have been the year anniversary of finishing that 6-month chemo. But the numbers have gone up again, and then they went down in January, and I was thinking, yes, God, you're showing up in healing, and this is going to be glorious for you and more comforting for me. And then on Friday, just got the most recent results, and the numbers have gone up again. So it's really been a challenge because we believe Jesus heals, and we tell people that, and we have seen people healed. And maybe I can just read a short little verse that I wrote right in the midst of my chemo. And now that I've known the numbers have gone up again, and just, so God, where are you? And I thought you are a God that heals. And I wrote this, and it's supposed to sound like a psalm. I'm not a songwriter, just ask my family. I did write a song once called When I Was a Snowflake, but it didn't really go over that well.
That'll be next week.
That'll be next week. But this little thing is called The Goodness of God. And to make it sound like a psalm, the subtitle is A Song of Ralph When He Had Chemo. I was hoping, dot, dot, dot. I was hoping that you would show up in healing. I don't understand all your ways. Did I not have enough faith? With this question, I could torture myself the rest of my life. But you have not left me. You keep kissing me. You keep reminding me of your presence. You keep reminding me of your goodness. You show your goodness in so many ways. Who is this God I believe in? He is a good God. Who is this God I place my trust in? He is a good God. I was hoping, dot, dot, dot. And I keep hoping in you, O God, for you are good and your goodness knows no end.
Thanks for sharing that, Ralph. I think I'd like us to pray for you right now if we can. I know you just got this news on Friday.
Yeah.
And I also know that you've been hoping to go back to the field in the next month or two. But this news could potentially hold that off.
Yeah.
So we'd just love to pray for you. I know that many people in our congregation can relate to your journey too. And we'd like to pray for your healing. Maybe Pedram and Dave Shalen, could you join me? And Pedram, could you lead us in prayer for healing? And just invite you to just lift your hands to the Lord and trusting Him for healing.
If you could maybe stand with us and just... Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being here this morning. We just lift Ralph up to you. He is your beautiful son and a servant. Lord, thank you for his life. Lord, we want to lift his body up to you right now.
Yeah.
And we ask in Jesus' name that you come in and completely heal him.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, that we know that you are the ultimate healer. Lord, we read in the scripture so much about your healing. I pray that this healing would be a testimony for Ralph to share with friends and in Germany and in Canada, that your name would be lifted high.
Yeah.
So right now, in Jesus' name, just get out of his body.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just wanted to lift him up, and I pray for strength, and I pray for hope, and I pray for faith in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we ask this in your name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Hey, Dave. Thank you.
Won't see that on After Hours. So, Ralph, I also thank you for letting us pray for you, by the way. You also mentioned a great story about how the Lord maybe in some ways has been using your weakness as a strength on the field. And I think that's interesting how often we think that we need to be in a strong place before God can really use us in other people's lives. And often it's our weakness that God also uses even more powerfully. Paul talks about that too. Mm. But you told a great story at men's retreat about this chemo party that you had in your neighborhood. I'd love for you to just outline that for us a bit again.
Yeah, it wasn't to drink chemo or something, but At the end of the chemo in November last year, I said to Ruth, you know, our neighbors have been so supportive, and I think they actually found it quite unusual that we were so open about the journey that we were on, and our house group, our church, our family that was there, Stephen and his wife. And so I had the idea of having a post-chemo party. So in December, on a Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, which is kind of the holy coffee and kuchen hour, you know, to have coffee and cake together, we invited 23 neighbors, like households, and put invitations in their mailboxes 2 or 3 weeks in advance. It's a good thing to do that in that culture. And 20 of those 23 showed up, plus our house group. About half of our house group came. We couldn't have everybody, but about 10 of those people came, and they're quite international. And we just had a time where there was a toast. I toasted my neighbors. I read from my little black book, you know, that I was keeping notes. I didn't read that poem, because I wrote it in English, but I read a psalm, or I quoted a psalm that I'd been meditating on from Psalm 16, just about God's goodness. And then we went into our living room. We had about 40, 45 people just jammed into our little apartment. And then we went into the living room and sang, "Your Love Never Fails," for them, our house group. We had a handout with the text in English and then a translation in German. It was unusual. We thought people might stay till 5:30 or 6, you know, from 4. You know, they don't want to extend their stay too long. The last people were leaving at 8:30 in the evening. So they were just hanging in there. And one of the ladies, a close neighbor, said to us as she was leaving, "Thank you for opening your heart. Thank you for letting us share your journey." Because in the general sense, they would keep such things to themselves. And you might notice that they don't go to work. One of our neighbors had cancer and had chemo, lost her hair. But we knew nothing more than that, just kind of guessing. But we just live our lives like an open book. And she just said, "Thank you so much for letting us share this journey with you."
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I believe we have a text question. Pastor Mark has been on the switch there, in the truck.
In the truck.
Yes, Dave, Andy Silver from North Vancouver texts in. Where is your kid's sense of home? Do they feel like they have a country to call home? Do they, you know, talk some more about your kids and how they've adjusted to life on the field.
That is sort of a hard question. I would say we probably feel like home is Mannheim. We've been there for 24 years, and it's also where we have actually a house with some stuff in it that belongs to us. So when we're here, we're just always living with family and friends. Of course, we still feel somewhat at home here. When we're driving here this morning and looking at the mountains and the sun and like, this is great. But I think Mannheim is home right now.
And for our kids?
Well, Stephen was always kind of very pro-Canada. You know, whenever we're here, "Oh, I love Canada. Oh, I love the smell of Canada." I don't know what the smell of Canada is, but anyway. But the last time he was here for Krista's wedding this summer, he said, "You know, I think really I feel more at home in Germany now." But he's married there and studied there and so on. So, and our kids in Calgary, I think, feel fairly settled here, but Krista is still kind of like, would like to get back to Europe too.
Do we have time for one more? Okay. Okay. This caller is unidentified here. Yes. They're asking, Ralph and Ruth, do either of you have a favorite verse? And why? Maybe a piece of scripture that's really special to you.
Yeah. When we got married, we asked the Lord for a verse, for a sense of promise, for a sense of big picture. And it's not tied to Germany. It's not tied to geography. We can do this verse anywhere. From Psalm 34, verse 3, "Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." That has been an umbrella. That's been a thing on our lives. And anyone can do that, whether you're married or single, whether you're in the North Shore or in Mannheim. Yeah.
Just wanted to now talk a little bit more about some of your
work in Germany and related to some of the things that are happening here. It's one of the neat things. Every time I sit down with Ralph and Ruth, it seems like some of the things that God's teaching them, both in their lives personally and in their ministry, is exactly the same things that God's been teaching us and leading us into as a church as well. So if any of you have been working through the prayer guide that we gave out last week as part of our 40 days of prayer, you've been praying for some big things this week. One of the things that we were asked to pray for is to ask God to awaken us to the realization that we are living in the days of the open gates of salvation in our city. That's one of the things that I've been asking the Lord for today, or this week, a further realization that God wants to move in our city. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about this, Ruth. What does it mean to capture the heart of a city? I know this has been one of your thoughts as you guys have been moving into Mannheim there.
Mm-hmm. We came to Mannheim originally just for language study, and we thought we'd just be there a short time and then moving on somewhere else. But even in that time, we just began to fall in love with the city, and we really prayed about it, and we actually asked our boss at that time if we could just stay there. And I think that's something that we can ask God to do, to give us his heart for our city, for our neighborhood, or whatever. And the way that translates for me into sort of real life is I'm driving through the city or walking or on the streetcar. I'm just praying for the city. I'm thanking God for it. I'm just saying, Lord, I love the city. Holy Spirit, come here. Give us open doors, you know, praying for people or whatever you might see. And I think that can translate into just sort of a constant conversation with God about your city. And then also just getting involved in different things, like just that it becomes your city. So you pick up garbage because this is my city, you know, or you do something about some injustice or whatever because it's your city. Start having the sense of ownership. And I think that's something that God works in our heart as we ask him to do that.
I love how you said that, having a constant conversation with God about your city. Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think that's something that God really wants us to be laying before him, yeah. Our city, the people in our city, the issues in our city, and really trusting God that he would give us maybe spiritual insight into understanding our city so that we can bring the glory of God here in a more powerful way. Ralph.
Two things I would like to say just in that regard. Two things I really like about Jesus. There's a lot more, but two things I really like is he loved to be by the water, like boats and stuff like that, you know, Galilee. So I always say when my kids, you know, if we can in the summer, we're in Cologne or something, oh, let's rent a boat because that's what Jesus would do, you know. He loves the water. But no, more seriously, the other thing is that Jesus loved the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over the city. And I ask pastors and other people in Mannheim every time, I said, have you ever wept over your city? Like, not because of the taxes or something, but have you ever just said, oh, God, this is your city, and you want to touch these people, and give me your heart, as Ruth said, for this city.
Yeah, this is one of the great things that the Lord has been leading us to in these days as well, too. Love for you to talk about your landing strip vision. I know most of us have heard this before, but this is taking actually the heart of the city and now going down to the heart of your neighborhood, actually. So, Ralph, could you talk about that?
Yeah, when I try and challenge pastors and in big gatherings, you know, for prayer or whatever in our city, and I'll say to them, you know, I challenge them to have a heart for the city and ask God to really give them a passion to see God move in into the city. But I said, how can I have a passion for the city if I don't have a vision or a heart for my neighborhood? And one day I was coming home, I was in the evening, and coming home, and we live basically at the end of our street. It's just a short street, Ludwig Frank Straße, and I was just coming to the top end of the street, and the street lights were on. And as I was praying already for our street, the Lord just gave me this. I stood there, and the Lord just gave me this vision of our street being a landing strip for the Holy Spirit. And I just thought, wow, he wants to arrive here. I mean, it's not that I have to arrive here. We already live there. But he wants to come and invade this street. The other streets are fine. We know other people there too, but he wants to start here in some particular way. And so I just began to pray into that vision that he gave me.
That's awesome. And this is something that we want to invite God to do in our hearts as well, too, as we think about the street that we live on. Ralph, you've also mentioned this, the role of prayer in this. And you've told another story at men's retreat about touching the gateposts and praying for your neighbors by name.
Yeah.
Also, one of the things that we have been challenged to as a congregation during this 40 days of prayer is this, that one of the prayers that we were asked to pray this week is ask God to make your congregation a house of prayer. It means that prayer permeates every aspect of congregational life as prayer becomes the heart of who we are as the people of God. And this is something we feel God leading us into. Could you talk a little bit about that, touching the gateposts, praying for your neighbors by name?
One of our neighbors, their names are Ralph and Uta. And we'd come back from our time in Canada one time, and they had us over for some cheese and whatever one evening out on their balcony. It was a summer evening. And they said, so you're back. What are your plans now for your church? They've been to our church once, I think, to some Christmas event. And at that time, we were really honing in on the name of our church, House des Herrn, which means House of the Lord. And it just simply kind of unfolded in front of us as I shared. I said, well, I want my life. I said, the whole idea of our church is every one of us could be a house of the Lord, like his presence dwelling in me. We are to be temples of the Holy Spirit. I said, in my home, our home, we want our family and our home to be a house of the Lord. And together with other believers in the way that we connect with others, we want, as we get together, we want to be a dwelling place for God. And so this is the kind of perspective that we had. So when I go along our landing strip and I'm touching people's homes, I'm praying, God, you deserve, you paid for these families, that their house should be a house of the Lord. I hear them arguing. I know some of the stories, and I know the difficulties, and a guy with his business problems, and I'll touch his gate as I go by. Wolfram, oh, God, bless him, and he's an atheist, but I pray that you'll show up so powerfully in his business that he will know this is God answering his prayer, our prayers, and so that his home, too, would become a house. His life would become a house of the Lord.
Yeah. Just quickly, it's amazing how, when you're praying for your neighbors, how many conversations you suddenly have with them. And it's very coincidental. Just try it.
Pastor Mark.
One of our young adults just said that clearly as missionaries, you see that there's massive need overseas, you know, in a post-Christian culture. We're living in a post-Christian culture here as well. And one of our young adults says, you know, as a young adult, a big thing in our culture is to leave home and go and serve abroad. As missionaries, would you think it's okay to postpone some of these feelings and to dig in at home?
You should never postpone, because geography doesn't make any difference. I mean, it's like, I'll wait till I get over there to serve God. You shouldn't go anywhere unless you've already been doing it here. That's the whole point. And I was thinking yesterday about this idea of calling. You could have a German answer, VW, voice and word, like hearing the voice of God. But the word of God has to kind of govern that, because the word of God just says, be salt and light wherever you are. And it's not, you know, I'll serve God when, but right now I want to hear the voice of Jesus saying, follow me, make fishers of men, like make people to be disciples. And so it starts right here. Yeah.
Just one thing I'd say to that is, one of the things that we try and do with our young adults is to make sure they keep a hold of the vision that God's given them and the passion that they have. And that's one of the dangers that we've seen, is that maybe you go to camp or you go to Bible college or whatever it is, and you get this burning heart to do something in the world, and you postpone it in the way of, you know, you get married, you have kids, you get a mortgage, blah, blah, blah. You get kind of settled, and there's nothing wrong with that, except that sometimes that takes away the burning heart. So just wherever you are, just to keep the burning heart and to keep the passion and to keep following what God has called you to do wherever you are.
That's great. I just want to also say that it's really neat for us to hear what you guys are saying about things in your neighborhood. And I really feel like this is where God is calling us to as a church as well. And as we lay these thoughts before the Lord, as we dig into this 48 days of prayer, I just want to really encourage us and challenge us as we're praying for friends and neighbors that opportunities for conversations are likely to come. And we're just praying that the Lord would move mightily in this time and in this season. Mm-hmm. So it's good. I just wanted to say thanks to Ralph and Ruth. It's great for you to give me the gift of your trust to ask any question. And thank you for your heartfelt answers today. I really feel like this has been a powerful time for us. So we just want you to know how much we love you guys. Mm-hmm. And we just appreciate your partnership in the ministry. It's really precious. So thank you.
Thank you.
And as we conclude, I just want to encourage you, if you'd like to be part of receiving regular prayer updates from Ralph and Ruth, or if you would like a fresh, hot-off-the-press prayer card of theirs, you can see Kim Mulbach. Kim will be in the foyer, and she can actually sign you up online to their website to sign up for the regular email updates or prayer updates. So Kim will be just outside the door in the foyer, and she'll also have the prayer cards there as well, too. But we would like to end our service today in a little different way, and that is with some prayer ministry time. And Ralph and Ruth are wanting to offer themselves to pray with and for us as we lift our neighborhoods to the Lord. So maybe I'll just leave it with Mark here to conclude, and Ralph and Ruth, and I'll take a seat.
Great. Again, as we talk about entering into our neighborhoods and praying for the nations, we don't want a church gathering to be the one place where we don't actually ever pray. We just talk about praying. So before our service is done, Jim's going to start playing in a little bit here. And just want to give you an opportunity where you're seated to begin to pray for your neighborhood, to pray for your work colleagues, to pray for the friends that you hang out with as you walk the schools or the halls of your school. So you can do that right where you are. You don't need to come forward to pray. God hears you no matter where you are. But we do want to give you an opportunity to be prayed for this morning. If you just want someone to put their hand on your shoulder and pray that the Holy Spirit will anoint you with the love of the Father and with boldness so that your neighborhood, your street, can become a landing strip of the Holy Spirit, we want to invite you to come up. Ralph and Ruth are going to be a dynamic duo praying for people, but we've got another number of other dynamic duos. Again, it's not who prays for you, it's who we pray to. And so we're going to invite the Holy Spirit just to continue to change the landscape of our hearts and to touch our city. So, Jim, if you want to start playing now, I'm going to bless you, and then you can start praying where you are, or you can come forward. So I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit anoint you with the Father's love, and may He give you a holy boldness that will push you out of your comfort zone and into the lives of the people that need to hear Jesus. Amen and amen. Bless you all. Thanks for coming.